Welcome to the Precipio Incorporated second quarter 2019 corporate update call for shareholders. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. Please note that the conference is being recorded. Statements made during this call contain forward-looking statements about our business. You should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements, as these statements are based upon our current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions, and are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. These statements may be identified by words such as may, will, should, could, expect, intend, plan, anticipate, believe, estimate, predict, potential, forecast, continue, or the negative of these terms, or other words or terms similar meaning. Risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from those set forth in any forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, the matters listed under risk factors in our annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31st, 2018, which is on file with the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as other risks detailed in our subsequent filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. These reports are available at www.sec.gov. Statements and information, including forward-looking statements, speak only to the date they are provided unless an earlier date is indicated. And we do not undertake any obligation to publicly update any statements or information, including forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. Now let me hand the conference over to Elon, Precipio CEO.
Okay, thank you very much. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call. As always, thanks to those who sent questions in advance. We'll do our best to address them. On our call today, I'll provide an update on the business. Carl, Precipio CFO, will give a financial perspective, and then I'll close with a few final remarks. Before I begin, I'd like to recognize Carl and his team for the company's successful filing a week in advance of the deadline of our recent 10-Q. In the past, the combination of complicated transactions and subsequent complex financial statements, together with a relatively lean and small finance team tasked with accomplishing a ton of work, resulted in us frequently filing for extensions. As we came up to our two-year mark since the merger, Carl and his team set as a goal to file before the deadline, and I was delighted to see the team meet that goal with flying colors. Two things led to this. First, despite the team remaining lean, we continuously got better, and together with Markham, our auditors, we put in place processes to streamline the preparation and review of our financial statements by our auditors. Second, simply put, our financial statements got simpler. Carl will discuss this in further detail in a few moments, but if you look at our balance sheet, for example, it tells a very different and far cleaner story than it did 2 years ago. So kudos to Carl and your team, job well done. Now onto the business performance. I'll cover both sides of our business, the product side and the pathology services side. Let me start with our pathology services. As you saw from the recent financial results, as well as the news update we provided last week on Q2 metrics, we continue to head in the right direction with our metrics showing growth. We continue to reinvest in adding further headcounts to build our sales team, and this investment continues to show positive results in the growth of our revenue. Our customer base is not only growing, but it's also changing as we evolve from working with smaller practices to adding larger groups and hospitals. This will, of course, impact our average revenue per customer, in addition to other growth metrics, such as case volume. I'd also like to comment on the recurring customer metric because this is somewhat unique to our industry. Many in our industry often complain about a revolving door of customers, with new customers trying their services, switching to another lab, and jumping around from lab to lab. This is indicative of the nature of our business, which is diagnostics is perceived, for the most part, as a commodity. In contrast, not only have we had an extraordinarily high conversion rate from prospect to trial and from trial to repeat customer, as reflected in our metrics, we also have a low attrition rate. I attribute this to two things. The first is the outstanding delivery of our message by our hardworking sales team, who care deeply about our customers, their patients, and are here to ensure that our vision is carried out and that the problem of this diagnosis is indeed eradicated. The second is the outstanding work done by our laboratory team and world-class pathologists in our network, who truly provide exceptional value that is recognized by our customers. This creates what we call in sales stickiness, which is the ability not only to win a customer, but to keep a customer, creating the critical recurring revenue model that helps us grow. Moving on to our product side of the business. I know that everyone is on the edge of their seat waiting for that big contract with IVCell to be announced, and believe me, there is nobody who wants it to happen faster than myself and my team. I'm here to assure you today that this process is proceeding. We are dealing with large organizations, and they have their own process, and that process takes time. However, at this point, we have not seen any reason that the process will not result in a successful outcome. We recently received the first shipment from Novamed, our IVCell manufacturer, and have successfully completed its internal testing, showing excellent results. I have never been more confident in our product, and have no doubt that our customers will benefit substantially from clinical as well as operational advantages of IVCell over current products in the market. As I have communicated with several of you by email, to those who don't have the stomach or patience to wait it out, you will find this process very challenging. But for those who stuck with us through the ups and downs, I am confident that your patients will be rewarded, and I believe that the bulk of the wait is soon to be behind us. As anyone in sales knows, the first is always the toughest sale. TeamScreen is also progressing, and we are working on some large accounts that are in the process of validating and onboarding the assay into their laboratories. Both these products should become strong top-line revenue as well as bottom-line cash contributors to the company, and will help us move towards cash flow positive. Regarding ice-cold PCR, we continue to work on some of the partnerships previously mentioned, and most of them have expressed an interest in continuing to work with us on further developments. Those will be announced as we make progress. Lastly, I'd like to comment on our international effort led by Ori. We've made incredible inroads into some of the largest healthcare institutions worldwide. Just this morning, I returned from Brazil, where I met with some of the premier healthcare laboratories, and we will be commencing trials with them to implement our products in their labs. This is one of the multiple efforts as we expand our products to Asia, South America, Europe, and the Middle East. This will be yet another revenue and cash contributor with the advantages of diversification away from reliance solely on the U.S. market. Now, let me turn it over to Carl for discussion on the company's finances. Carl?
Thank you, Elon, for the introduction. Good afternoon. Let me extend a welcome to everyone on this shareholder call. I'm Carl Iberger, Precipio's Chief Financial Officer. On today's call, I will be bringing you up to date on significant transactions completed in 2019, our operating performance, and our balance sheet, and what we need to accomplish to obtain break-even operations. Let me start my discussion with addressing several material and significant items the company has concluded during Q2. When considering these items, taken either individually or collectively, they have been a negative financial and resource drain on the company to date. Getting these behind us will benefit our future. All of these items have been reported on in our 10-Q. First, as Precipio entered 2019, the company had two significant legal claims facing it. Both were holdovers from the 2017 merger. By the end of this past quarter, the company settled both investor-related transgenomic pre-merger matters. The first matter is Creed Capital claim on transgenomic. As of May 2019. This matter has been settled and fully paid. With its origin dating back to July 2015, settling and concluding the inherited liability obligations of Transgenomic to Creed Capital is a material financial weight lifted off the company. The second matter is a legal action stemming from Transgenomic activities pre-merger. Campbell et al. V. Transgenomic is a lawsuit. In June, negotiations were completed. All parties have agreed on a settlement. Final documents will be completed during Q3. All impact of the settlement have been accounted for in our second quarter financials. A third item, non-legal but more contractual dealing with post-merger agreement, was also settled, signed, and completed in May of this year. This item has to do with Levinson Resources, LLC. As the conclusion of Q2, Precipio has satisfied all outstanding obligations and claims with Levinson and counterclaims by Precipio and has a fully executed release settlement. A fourth item, also during June, was completed settlements with three remaining major merger-related legacy accounts payable vendors. With these settlements, the company can finally turn the page on the legacy receivables, payables. During the last 2 years, we've worked off in excess of $15 million in legacy debt through negotiations, settling claims, and minimizing cash outlays of approximately $8 million. Also in Q2, the company executed a reverse stock split in order to remain on the NASDAQ stock exchange. In previous press releases and the shareholder call in May, Elon addressed this action. The financial information provided in the Q has been adjusted to incorporate the 15-for-1 reverse split on April 26. The company has 5.9 million shares approximately outstanding as of June 30th, 2019. Moving to our operating performance, I'd like to address our business activities. The company filed its 10-Q on August 9th, reporting our financials, footnote disclosure, legal exhibits, and management's discussion and analysis. During this reporting period, covering the 3- and 6-month period ending June 30th, total reported revenues grew 32% quarter over quarter and 8% for the 6-month period year over year. Based on our projections for additional growth in the second half, we believe our annualized growth rate will continue to increase, exceeding the current annualized rate of 15%. Stepping back and taking a look at our services as of this reporting period, diagnostic testing accounts for almost all of the reported revenue. Of this amount, pathology services represent approximately 75% of all revenues. Pharma services from pharma contracts provides the remaining 25%. Our New Haven, Connecticut CLIA licensed pathology lab recently received its CAP approval in August. In recent conversations with our sales team, led by Steve Miller, we believe that securing the CAP certificate will translate into additional diagnostic sales from key oncology practices. Growth in pathology is directly related to expanding our sales force. During the first half of 2019, we have steadily increased our sales force. And with this expansion, we now cover 18 states. Breaking down the account profiles, a majority of revenues generated from pathology diagnostic testing comes from office-based oncologists and multi-oncologist physician groups. Medical centers and hospitals comprise the balance. Paramount for our success is physician relationships, built through the direct-to-the-doc sales force and our in-house quality team assigned to customer-patient cases. The remaining revenue is comprised of pharma projects. These projects make up approximately 25% of reported revenue. These services generate revenues from contract clinical research companies, pharmaceutical contracts, and or testing developers. Our pharma services are provided by the company's Omaha, Nebraska research facility. As Elon touched upon, we have developed two new laboratory processes, HemeScreen launched in late 2018 and IVCell launched in Q1 2019. When orders are placed, these products and their volume requirements will not only expand revenues, but will help leverage overall lab expenses, affording us economies of scale. Currently, lab technical staff has the capacity to take on increased volume. Both HemeScreen and IVCell are currently being marketed to cytogenetic and molecular reference laboratories and hospitals throughout the U.S., Asia, and most recently, as noted previously, Brazil. The management team is extremely confident about the technology and its application. Internally, for our own testing needs, we have demonstrated the ability for the media to supplant existing lab processes, providing improved clinical results, saving significant time, and reducing costs. These new lab processes have allowed our New Haven, Connecticut pathology lab to expand its services and to offer markedly improved clinical outcomes as well as improved turnaround time. However, with all that said, we are disappointed in the length of time it has taken external labs to complete the validation testing. We remain very encouraged, but we're not satisfied. We are confident we're doing all we can to edge closer to completion and external valuation. Gross margins. We have seen improvement in our gross margins, but significant improvement can only be generated by continuing to build our sales volume. We project gross margin to markedly improve as volume increases. Moving to operating expenses and SG&A. Our expenses required to operate sales and G&A are essentially level year over year, while the sales size of our business has grown by 8 to 10%. What is not obvious is the progress we have made in reducing certain material G&A expenses. These savings have been reinvested in our sales force. Key expenses in G&A that we are focused on are public reporting expenses, auditing expenses, and legal. Legal expenses have been significantly curtailed, as have the costs for IT support. Legal reductions are a direct result of finalizing the previously discussed settlements. We shall see material changes in the second half. Going forward, we need to continue to reduce G&A expenses. As noted, specifically public reporting expenses related to our business. Stepping back from that, for the size of Precipio today, public reporting expenses comprise the single largest expense item, and they're driven by our audit expenses, valuation analysis on our financial instruments, technical accounting services for accounting guidance, and incorporating the accounting for our financial instruments. Multiple public reporting fees and associated franchise taxes as well, from NASDAQ, from Delaware, and through corporate reporting to the states that we provide business in. Taken as a whole, public reporting costs are excessive for our company. While we are making progress on G&A expenses throughout the remainder of 2019, we will invest or repurpose all expense reductions into expanding the sales force and building customer reporting tools to grow the business. Looking forward, I believe the proof of these efforts will find their way into the second half financials as Salesforce expansion, funded by the G&A reductions, drives volume. Moving along to other income and expenses, during the quarter, there was material activity related to our financial instruments and price modifications that resulted in warrant and derivative valuation expenses and a loss on issuance of convertible notes. As identified in the 10-Q, other expenses net was $3.4 million and $0.6 million for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2019 and 2018, and included expense from warrant and derivative revaluations of $2.4 million and income from warrant and derivative revaluations of $0.3 million for the same periods for 6 months ended, as well as a loss of issuance of convertible notes of $1.9 million and $0.9 million, respectively. During the 3 months ended June 30, 2019, the other expense items were partially offset by gains on settlement of liabilities of $1.1 million. Moving to our balance sheet and cash flow activities, looking at our assets, cash reserves at June 30, 2019 were $1.2 million, as compared to $0.4 million at year-end, 12/31/2018. Accounts receivable reflect a proportionate increase in revenues, and DSO as of June 30th, 2019 was 84, favorable to year-end 12/31 DSO of 92. And liabilities for the company to fund operations and clear the previously discussed settlements, during the quarter ending June 30th, the company issued $2.1 million in new debt and also received proceeds of $1.6 million from the exercise of warrants. As of June 30th, 2019, cumulative accounts payable and accrued liabilities were $4.3 million, as compared to year-ending 12/31 amounts of $7.7 million, or a decrease of $3.4 million. Changes in liability reflect the recently concluded statements, making a gain of approximately $1.1 million in negotiated AP, and the use of proceeds for payment of expenses related to our operations. Recently, the company filed an S-1 on August 9th. Estimated proceeds are $4.9 million. The company believes existing cash reserves, combined with the equity line proceeds, should provide sufficient runway for the company to successfully market IV cell and heme screen and reach cash flow break-even and profitability. Now let me turn it back to Ilan for some final comments.
Thank you, Carl, for that detailed analysis. So a few final thoughts. Our team and I continue to work hard at building the company and achieving the goals we've set out and that we've promised to deliver on to you, the shareholder. I know that many of you, myself included, are disappointed at the decline of the stock price from where it was a few months ago post-reverse split. Our stock has previously suffered from aggressive shorting, but from examining the recent short positions around the stock, you can actually see a relatively low percentage of short interest and reduced short pressure, which is very positive. The volatility in our share price is probably a reflection of the perception uncertainty in the eyes of some in the market around the company's capabilities. In our view, this is not an indication of the company's performance because from a revenue perspective and financial perspective, we've demonstrated relatively stable growth. We believe we have great prospects for our products, which are undergoing validation by institutions, and these processes, as I mentioned above, take some time. But once they're completed, we believe that the results will have a dramatic impact on the company's finances, as well as its overall position in the market as a global leader in providing impactful and valuable products that we've created. And with that, I believe that the stock volatility will stabilize and it will reach a price that reflects the value we deliver. We're all entirely dedicated to achieving this goal, and with each day that goes by, with each meeting that takes place, we grow more and more confident in our value proposition, the clinical benefit to our customers and their patients, and the subsequent financial value to our stockholders. Never has there been a more exciting and more important time to be where we are today. Cancer touches everyone, and with the tools we've created, no cancer patient should ever suffer the consequences of being misdiagnosed. I want to thank you all for your continued interest and the support of the company, and I look forward to speaking with you on our next call. Wishing everyone a nice evening. Thank you.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.